an AppleViz original. Which is cool.
But yeah, the apps.
Go ahead.
Cool. A three. I'll let you go. 3, 2, 1. You got 5 seconds.
Boy, this is
okay.
Great,
game's
great
up.
Outtakes. Great outtakes.
That was funny.
Okay, I was just gonna say. I know. I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh God.
My wife and we still have some 10S phones around. And it's being used. And
did you say you were playing tennis with your wife?
I was playing tennis the other day with my wife. No, I don't know what I said. Now I forgot.
I can't hear so good, you know.
Was it 10S? I think it was 10S.
Oh, that's right. 10S.
Okay.
Big Sur. I love that name. Big Sur came out, which is
they got that from me, actually. That's
what
they call me.
Oh, you know
they call
what?
Me that
it
all
does.
Time.
I've been calling you Big R this whole time.
Oh, yeah. That's
dang
right.
It. I didn't realize. I'm saying it wrong.
I see the similarities now.
Okay, good. I'm full of vapor, too, sometimes.
The Big Sur. Hello there, and thank you for giving this show a listen. This is AppleViz Unleashed. November 2020, I am here with Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak. Welcome back, boys.
Good to be back.
Hello.
How's
Hi.
Everyone?
Pretty good. Well,
just dandy. Thanks for asking.
I'm surviving the holidays so far. We got like one big one down, depending on where everybody lives and what you're into. But that time of year.
I'm still celebrating. I'm still drinking tequila.
Some people just the holidays have kicked in. You're right. And for some are still enjoying the last holiday, I suppose.
That's why we record at 1 in the afternoon.
That's right. Oh, I thought it was evening. Is this afternoon?
Yes.
Okay.
Close enough.
And now Mike was just telling me, and I repeat that again to me. I think I have fluff in my ear. But you
put
said,
it in a little, maybe a little different light, Mike, than you did describing it to us. But
was that not good? So everybody knows, if you've listened to me talk and on here at all, you know I live out in the middle of nowhere and have routinely hated this satellite internet, which is the only option. And the hotspot was not great. So, well, I have good news. The hotspot now works very well. I'm going to start breaking up just because I said that. Watch. But the 5G has been, it's made a huge difference. I can actually walk more than like 5 feet. Yeah. I was talking slowly, trying to pick my words carefully. But
you could say what my kids says, it was lit. It's fire or
fire. It was, yeah. I feel too old to say those words.
Well, you know, the other day I was saying that's lit, my son. So that's old, Dad. I said, okay, it's the bomb. That's really old, Dad.
That's really old.
And I said, well, what do you guys use now? It's fire. I said, oh, geez. So your new 5G is fire.
Yeah, okay. I'm very happy with it. The iPhone 12, like the day it was available, I hopped on it because mostly hoping that it was actually going to work. And we got here, and wouldn't you know it, could not get the SIM card out of my old phone. That took like literally 4 hours. It's like, if you're having an issue getting the SIM card out, take it to your nearest Apple store. I'm like, you realize that's like 4.5 hours away from me? I'm not doing that. So I sat there and followed it. But yeah, it's working. Everything's great. Very happy.
How'd you get it out?
The same way you're supposed to. It just wasn't working. So I like got an air compressor and kind of like spray a little bit of air. I'm like, maybe there's dust in here. I have no idea.
Wow.
So I just constantly fiddled with it. You're just supposed to have like a paper clip and just poke it. And it's supposed to shoot right out. But
is it because you guys have been drinking and still drinking? Is that
the problem?
Sure,
that's
I mean, but my hands were on my drink. They weren't even touching my keyboard. So I don't, I don't know.
Hangover issues. Now, Mike, I got to ask you, since I didn't have you last month, we had a wonderful gentleman that contacted us and to let you know that one of your dream was to be able to take your rifle and be able to shoot at targets, but without an assistant, you'd be able to do it accessibly. Now, did you get the letter that I sent you about the audible scope?
Yes, I did. And I also want to say thank you for that, because it is, this has been a thing that I legitimately, like, even before I was out of the military, like when I was still in the medical evaluation process to get out and dealing with the VA and all of that fun stuff. Like I used to sit around the shop with like the other active duty guys and try to figure out how to like make this a thing. And it's always, for me, it's always better when somebody else makes it a thing instead of me, because I always, you know, my ideas don't usually work out so great, but I'm very excited about this.
So I really appreciate the listeners piping in when they know of an answer. So yes. I guess this audible scope allows Mike to have a headphone, and he's right. able to put this item on the target, and it will give him some sort of a beacon noise that will show him if he's getting close to the target or not. So I'd be curious and anxious to see what you think of that. If you ever come to that, maybe you'll get that for Christmas. Who knows?
I hope so. And as soon as it's not like single digit weather outside,
yeah, you'll be fine. Just bundle up. You'll be fine. Holy Blitzen, what a month it's been, guys. Holy Blitzen. We have had so many new products coming from Apple the past couple months. This has just been crazy on all the stuff that we're getting from Apple. And I can just imagine next month's fiscal report is going to, or the first quarter is going to be mind blowing. I cannot imagine the numbers. And speaking of that, Mike, you still don't think Apple will make $2 trillion in the next year? Last chance for 2021.
That's a question, Mike.
No, I know. I'm thinking of how, because I'm trying to skip ahead. I don't. Is it still with the App Store cuts and like?
There's so much involved now, isn't there?
I know. It gets so complicated.
It does make things more complicated. Oh, no doubt. Well, I tell you what. We'll start with the iPhone 12 since all the models have come out so far. So it sounds like, Mike, you got a new iPhone 12?
Yes,
I did. And which one did you get?
Let me try to get their naming conventions right. The Pro Max is the giant one, right?
Yeah.
It's not that one. It's the iPhone 12 Pro.
And how do you like your iPhone 12 Pro so far?
I mostly love it.
And this is coming from 8, right?
Yeah.
And
no, 10.
Had 11. You had a 10.
Oh, no, 10R.
10, 11. The 10. We should have known that to the 10R.
I got to say one thing. We are professional podcasters.
It's true.
That's right. We remember everything. Now, wait a minute. Randy's from an 8. That's right. Okay, so you're from a 10R. What did you tell the truth? Just to be honest. What was your first feeling when you got it out? Did it feel different?
Yeah, they went back. It made me think of the fives. It kind of has the like little more sharper edges and corners and stuff, like this shape.
No doubt.
It's a little bit blockier. And I was like, okay, there's like a big clover shaped camera array on the back of it. But then the old ones, or you know, the older ones used to just kind of be one little circle. Now there's like 7 of them in there. I mean, beyond that, it's kind of what you'd expect.
What about battery?
I have not, even with like hotspotting from it on doing things like this, it'll last for, like with the active hotspot, my phone unlocked, just sitting on the desk, it'll last for hours. I haven't ever had any major issues whatsoever.
How would you compare that to your 10R battery?
Oh, the other one I had to have plugged in twice as often, probably. I haven't had to check this one. The other one, if I was playing, everybody knows I play D&D, and sometimes those games are like 4 hours long. I couldn't leave that one unplugged and make it that long. This one has no. Randy, don't say anything. This one has no problems lasting for 4 hours, and it's fine.
That's what my son says too. Now he came from a 10 as well, and he went to 11 Pro, or 12 Pro. Sorry. And he says the same thing. The battery is incredible on this.
Yeah, it's been great.
Now, I came from 11, and I was mentioning last month, coming from 11 to 12 seems to be a little bit a digression for me. So that was odd, because I thought it would be about the same, but it wasn't. But I've heard many good results from people from 10 and down in terms of battery life being awesome. And Mr. Big R, how has your iPhone 12 been so far for you?
I have not pried it out of my hands since I took it out of the box.
Now, have you experienced the 5G yet, like Mike has?
Yeah, man, it's fire.
And it
fire.
It's no, fire. Actually, I have not. But oh. I will tell you one thing. The older I get, the more naps I take, and the longer they are. And since I've taken such long naps, I don't have to worry about my battery life at all, because it just lasts through my naps, and I'm good. Coming from an 8, seriously, coming from an 8, it's incredibly good. I can go through a whole day and half of the next. Sometimes it takes 2 days for my batteries to discharge. And this is coming from somebody who uses their phone a lot. So my battery life is really good. Now, I have heard two things on my viewing of YouTubes, and they are that iOS 14 causes battery drain. I haven't noticed it, but to be fair, I'm coming from an 8. Also, people are saying that the batteries in the Pro Max are a bit smaller than they normally would be. I don't know if that's true, but I'm assuming it is, because I hear all these, you know, really good YouTube stars.
They are.
And some people are a little worried about it. But well, I've had nothing but great luck with my phone. Go ahead, Thomas.
Oh, no. I appreciate your honesty about that, because, you know, that's a lot of people have been asking me about the battery. They've been concerned. And I'd say if you had a 10 and below, you're going to love the battery on these devices. They're awesome. The 11 Pro last year was a 3100 mAh. That tells you about the battery size for the 11 Pro. This year, 12 Pro is 2800. So you lost about almost 20% of mAh. And you don't think that's a lot, but it does make a difference. Now,
oh, it does. I'm sure.
I agree with you, Randy. When it comes to being high efficiency when you're not using it, just laying around, the thing can last forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. I can just not use it for a certain amount of time, and it just hardly even did a notch down on number. But I am excited to hear that Mike is 5G finally. So apparently, not only is it on fire, but it sounds like the connectivity and the speed is faster than when he had an LTE with that.
Yes. Fire 2, right, Mike?
Yeah, Fire 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's way faster. And with my other phone, there was certain places that I had to stay, certain windows I needed to be near. And if it got down to one bar, you could kiss it goodbye. That was when I'd go full robot mode and everything got very
I never thought I'd say this to another guy, Mike, but you really, really sound good.
Thank you.
And stable.
5G. It's not me. Stable. It's 5G. Yeah.
That's his 5G voice, folks.
Yeah, this is what it sounds like, guys. It's great. No, I really am happy. Like in like one bar, I lost my phone the other day. It fell down into like into the Lazy Boy, down under it. And I finally figured out where it was. Pull it out. It's got one bar. Everything's still connected. It's still running perfectly fine. Like it's been really, really great.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things I noticed, my wife we still have some 10S phones around. And it's being used.
Did you say you were playing tennis with your wife?
I was playing tennis the other day with my wife. No, I don't know what I said. Now I forgot.
I can't hear so good, you know.
Was it 10S? I think it was 10S.
Oh, that's right. 10S. Okay. The 10S. So I have seen on the iPhone 12, I will say the antenna is incredible. Whatever they did to this thing is huge. Now, I don't know if this depend on your carrier, but T-Mobile, substantial difference. So we've been like in 3 or 4 different places where my wife would have like 1 or 4 bars, and the other, my son's girlfriend also had 1 bar, and she has a 10S as well. And but Riley and I, my youngest son, we both have 12s. And we were able to get 4 out of 4 bars, and the speed was dramatically faster. We were able to access. So I don't know what they did with the antenna on these things, but it is amazing. I can tell a huge difference between this and my 11 when it comes to antenna reception. And so that one is really awesome. And 5G is no doubt. It is faster in my area. I can tell it is awesome when it does work. But when I get about down to 2 out of 4 bars, that's when the 5G doesn't work very well and the LTE does better. So I'm starting to learn a little bit more ins and outs. But apparently the iPhone 12 Pros seem to be the hottest model that's being sold, and Apple cannot keep up the demand. They actually have to cannibalize the iPad Pro model for the LiDAR to get the phones out of it. And so the iPad Pros are starting to being shipped delayed because they're being cannibalism for the iPhone 12 Pro. So this is going to be a great year for Apple, no doubt. I have to say now, the iPhone 12 Pro, what I was kind of curious is how much one of these costs, because every year they get approximate cost on how much it would build one of these, how much it would cost for you to sell one of these. And when they broke it down, they were able to figure out about $460 of what it costs to make this device. So I'm thinking to myself, good God, Apple, you're still making a huge profit for selling $999 for this model. However, apparently that is 27% of the value of the phone. And for this year, now last year, it was only 9.1% of the value. So this increase of how much it costs Apple to build it went substantially up. And that goes into the wrench, what Mike and I were talking about. Are they going to make the $2 trillion mark? Because now, you know, they were going for almost 10% now to almost 30% of the value. So I think the profit is down. And this is the most mainline phone that they're selling. I would think the numbers would be down, but who knows? I think it would definitely will take effect of what we can expect in Q1. However, have you both felt an iPhone 12 Pro Max yet?
No.
No, I have not.
Oh, jeez. This thing is so freaking huge. I thought the iPhone 11 Pro Max was huge. This is a gargantuan. Is that a word? Gargantuan?
Yeah.
It's gargantuan. It's huge. I God bless to those who have it, and I'm glad you love it. I did get my hands on also an iPhone 12 mini. Now, my younger son ended up getting a 12 mini. My oldest son got the 12 Pro. Got to play with the 12 mini. Oh, my God. I'm like, Mike, it brought nostalgia feeling back, like I had an iPhone 5 in my hand. Yeah. And it was like, I know it wasn't as small as the 5, but man, it sure is so much smaller than holding my iPhone 12 Pro. It's just like, wow, this is so much smaller. I love the size factor of it. And I know that Dave Nason did a great blog on his review. He got the iPhone 12 mini and absolutely loves it. And I would too. I would absolutely love it if I had it. Now, he says battery life, he is able to make it through the whole day. Now, even heavy usage, he's down to 20% or so at the end of the day and has to charge it back up. So there's been a lot of different official results on the battery life on the mini, which is kind of ups and downs, just depending on who you listen to and what you want to look at. Now, I know the mini has a 2200 mAh compared to a 2800 mAh on the iPhone 12 Pro, comparison to an 1800 mAh on the SE 2020. So it gives you an idea. It's about 20% bigger than what you had on the 8. So if you're coming from an 8, you're going to see a slightly big jump in there, but you should have the same result. Obviously, if you're coming from a 10 or 11, that's going to be quite a bit downsized. So really, it just depends on the battery and how you use it. I think it's going to be great for some. The only concern I have with the mini is not so much does it last all day, but my first thought is I have to wind it down to 10-20% on heavy usage day. Then I'll start to worry about battery count. What is that? It means that you can only recharge your battery so many times. So it actually does account. It counts it and tells you how many counts it will do until it gets to the point where it degrades quite a bit. And so I'm thinking if you have to charge that much each and every day, I would be concerned on battery count if you want to keep your phone for a long time. I don't know. It was just my two cents and I thought I...
Now, with your hearing, Thomas, I was just curious. Have you noted the different sounds of the different phones in their speakers?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, you know, the phone, you know, mini is smaller, so it's not going to be as rich and warm as your bigger size peer. The Max is definitely louder. It's just, wow. Obviously, it's got a bigger speaker on there, I think. I would have to because it sounds louder to me. not that the Mini isn't loud, it's still pretty loud, but I do can tell that it's a little more not as bassy or warm. It's just tinny, kind of, sort of.
Right.
But I have also noticed the strange things about the Mini too, and I'd be curious about others. Now, when we were comparing phones with my son and I on the iPhone 12, we were saying, I said, I'd be in this one area and I can get 5G just fine, but he doesn't see 5G. And so we had gone to another area. He can see 5G and so can I. It seems like the Pro are able to see the 5G further and than the Mini. Now, I don't know if that's a done deal or not, but we have been thinking about taking it back to Apple and ask them if there's a problem with this particular phone or if that's normal with the Mini. So that kind of worries me a little bit about antenna power when it comes to 5G. So I'm kind of like, huh, I never heard that one before.
You could research it maybe and get some answers or look it up on YouTube and see if there's any
issues. I will do that. I will definitely, I will let you guys all know on the next podcast when we'll probably head on over to Apple and find out. And I will keep you note on that because that I haven't heard about.
Well, I'm just blown away by the speakers on this 12. Separation is fantastic. Like if I'm on YouTube watching something and some guy's demonstrating it, and if it isn't stereo, a lot of ifs there, I know, but it's just crazy good separation. The first time I heard this, I never noticed this on my 8, but you know when you send a message and you have the default sound on, and the message, I mean, email, right?
Yeah.
And when I hit send on the email, you get this, and it goes from one speaker to another, and I'm going, wow, that's pretty cool.
Haven't noticed that before, right? It's like,
no.
I didn't realize that was in stereo. It goes, you can hear that going from one speaker to the other speaker. And I was like, I never knew that existed. I thought it was just one mono sound. It's not.
Me too. Me too.
That is so cool.
Did you enjoy that sound effect, Mike?
That was good. That was very good.
Now, if I could do that in stereo.
Yeah. It's going to turn your head faster, maybe.
Turn your head faster. There you go. We'll just swish, and we'll just move our head as we go.
Yeah. Just press record. I might have to. I'd like to add. They've got something right because now you can record in stereo, and it's great.
Is that the one? I have not used that one in a very long time. Is that the one that goes straight to your Dropbox, or is that a local recording?
No, that's Dropbox with a V.
The V. Okay.
They haven't updated that thing for like 20 years, but
just press record does the transcription.
Yeah.
Okay.
It allows you to save to Dropbox and save in stereo, but it also does transcription, which is kind of a plus. I don't see that being free on a lot of different apps, which I love that one, which is cool.
I remember when I tried on my 8, I thought, oh, great, it's in stereo, and then I realized it didn't work.
Other news to say, and I was kind of, we talked about this past coming years and people probably forgot about it, but you know, one of the reasons the 5G has been so great is because it got the Qualcomm chip in it, and which I am so happy to have the Qualcomm back in it because God, they're so much better than the Intel modem chips. But however, rumor has it still for next year is still coming, and that is Apple's going to have its own 5G chip, and that's just like, wow. Apple is really trying to dominate all the different sectors' chips, aren't they? I mean, God. And I can't wait to see what their chip is going to do. I hope that it will be better, even better than Qualcomm, even though I think it's top-notch. The other thing to note about the MagSafe we haven't talked about on the Mini is that I've come to find out. So MagSafe is the new dongle device. This is a wireless thing that Apple released, right? And it has lets you do wireless charging on your phone quick and fast. And so the iPhone 12 Pro does 15 watts. And just give you a comparison, the brick that you buy is about an 18 watts, 20 watts. So that gives you an idea how much faster that the brick will still charge if you use that over wireless. Not a whole lot, but it's still a little bit. But the Mini only does 12 watts, which I was kind of surprised. And I can't figure out why it would be that way. It's so strange. However, speaking of MagSafe, my eyeballs popped out. because I was wanting to see this Apple dual charger. You guys remember that dual charger?
Yeah, that they mentioned
for the phone and the watch, right?
Yeah.
$129. $129.99 for a dual charger? I was like, this is ridiculous. And to further aggravate trying to find my eyeballs on the floor, you guys ready for this?
I was, but I'm not so sure I am now.
This incredible, all at one price, $129.99 for a Mac dual MagSafe charger, does not come with a power adapter.
Huh, what?
Ta-da!
Hold on, you guys. I have to pick up my eyes.
Yeah. And right now, I'm just staring at the wall like, what? What? I could not believe it. Yes, that is correct, folks. For $129.99, you get the fantastic wireless mat, but it does not include a power adapter. It comes with a USB-C, but not any adapter to plug it into.
Oh, my gosh.
However, for a measly $20, that makes it $149.99, you can buy yourself a 20-watt brick that I was mentioning. However, and just when you think I wasn't done, I'm not done. That thing, I get this new 20 watts power adapter, dual charger, right?
You got it, right?
Yeah. Huh? It only charges at 11 watts. I was like, what?
They gotta be kidding. Saw you coming, didn't they?
I was like, so somebody with some sharp eyes, wasn't my eyes, was able to read out some of the finer details that you'll need a bigger brick if you want to charge faster.
Oh my gosh.
So,
mess.
For a whopping $49.99.
Oh my gosh.
Make it a total of $179. You can have a dual charger, MagSafe, that does 14 watt charging. Woohoo!
But it's not even 20 watts or whatever, you know, it's 14.
It's just ridiculous. I was really looking forward to this dual charging because I thought, well, hey, you know, less real estate on my nightstand to put my phone in my watch would be fantastic.
There is one that's out now and it's like $115-$120, and I can't remember the name for the life of me right now. That is, it will accommodate your watch and your phone, and that is a full flat out charging rate, you know, the fastest that your devices can take them. And
is it MagSafe compliant?
Yep.
Awesome. See, that's the catch. A lot of people don't. I have a wireless charging, but the catch is just not.
Wait a minute. I think you just set your device. Now you got me thinking. You set your devices on the charger, so I don't think so. I think it just sits on a mat.
Exactly. Now, I've seen the Belkin 4-in-1.
That's the one.
I don't think it's MagSafe. And why I say that, folks, is that you can only get fast charging on the iPhone 12 only with a MagSafe. I mean, really.
Boy, they saw us coming, didn't they?
Oh, man. See, that's another. So I do have a wireless charging, and it does support up to, I can't remember how many watts, but surely enough, it does not go beyond a certain amount of watts without a MagSafe. So, gosh, it's just ridiculous. I know that the products can get the compliant MagSafe on it, but I have yet to see one. So if the listeners out there know of a couple brands or a brand that includes a power adapter, please let us know. I would love to hear your thoughts. And in the meantime, as we get into more products, guys, the HomePod Mini is now out. And I am a proud owner of an HomePod Mini. And it's Oompa size too. You like how I slid that one in? So.
Oh yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
Did you notice how we raked you over the coals there?
I noticed that you left me out in the cold. It's just silence, like.
Yep.
That's his new polka device.
So I got the white model. It's a ball. It looks like a ball. It feels like a ball. It feels like a little bit slightly smaller than a softball. So I'll give you an idea. And for those who have like an Echo, let's do a comparison to the Echo. So the Echo Dot is about as wide as the HomePod Mini and about half tall as the HomePod Mini. So it tells you, wow, it is pretty small. It does have the same mesh feeling as the Echo Dot does and the Echo does. However, the Echo sound is much louder. Echo hands down beats it when it comes to loudness, but the HomePod Mini really shines when it comes to crisp and clear. It is really super nice. I think it great on the high end and middle range, but it's kind of missing the bass a little bit. Not as bassy as the Echo. Do I love it? I absolutely love it. It is, huge difference between that and a Dot. There's no comparison. It just blows it out of the water. However, when it compares to the Echo, boy, it just depends what you want out of it. Echo still has a leg up when it comes to being louder, a little more bassier, and with the scales. I think Apple can only do themselves a huge favor and to all of us. Please, the love of God, bring out some apps for this thing.
For the love of Glob.
For the love of Glob, please put the apps out. Because we really, if they could put a lot of the apps or like the skills that we have on Echo onto the HomePod Mini, it would be hands down my favorite. Just because the ecosystem, I love the profiles. This is the real profile. And I talked to you, Randy, about this earlier. Echo has a profile, yes, but it doesn't work very well. Sometimes it recognizes me, sometimes it doesn't, and it doesn't work very well. The HomePod Mini works every time. You can set up your own profile, meaning that only I can check my text messages, my email messages, and other private things that are associated to your Apple ID. Now, I can put my wife's Apple ID on here, and she can do the same with the HomePod. If I try to access her text or she try to access my text, it won't let you. I love it. And it works super well. I think for the price, I am very happy with it. I've actually seen it for $89, $10 off, which isn't a lot. But knowing that the Echoes were...
Where do you see it for that?
That's a good question. I saw in an article that for a Black Friday, I don't know where, it was on Amazon for $89.
Wow.
So I couldn't tell you who was selling it. It's... But
no, it was interesting. He called me on my 12, and he was so excited that he got his HomePod, and he transferred his call to the HomePod, and we chatted back and forth between his phone and his HomePod Mini, and it sounded pretty good. It really did.
And I would probably get one just because I'm generally curious like that. Like if I could run one here, I would, just because because we used to have the big Echoes, the Echo Dots, we kind of had them all over the place, just trying to, because I kind of loved being able to communicate through the entire house, be like, hey, everybody, like I'm not going to walk up and down all these stairs, go and get back down here, because you got to clean this mess up. I miss like that kind of stuff. I'm assuming that, like, you set everything up in the home app, right? Because I keep seeing that pop up on my phone when I pull the control center thing. That's like, hey, when you set up home, everything will be here. And I keep telling it to go away because I don't have one of those. But I really like the idea of it, being able to have the multiple devices, but still maintain your own privacy for your stuff. And
And the setup was incredible. It was like, you could not make this any easier, and I will be doing some podcasts on this, folks. So I will do probably a number of them for you to listen to, anywhere from introduction to setting up to intercom. And you know, Mike, the intercom works just as like it on the Echo. You can use it as an intercom throughout the house, or you can have it sent to like your phone. If I want to use my phone to send the intercom home, I can do that. I can say, if I know my wife is in the kitchen, I just say intercom to the kitchen. And we can just go back and forth on it, which is really kind of cool.
That's handy.
It is. There's a lot of cool stuff. My favorite is the handoff, which I did with Randy. We were on the phone, and I decided, let me try this. And basically, you take the back top of your phone and just tap it at the top of your HomePod Mini, and it hands it off. And then you just get everything on the HomePod Mini. And if you tap it again, it hands off back to the other one. And I know people have been talking about this, but for doing this myself, real hand, for the first time, it was like magic. It was like, oh, wow, I love this.
Yeah, it's always a little different to hear people talk about it, but to actually like, do it yourself.
Yeah, you don't have it, you don't know. So it's right. not the same magic. Now, the only downside of the HomePod Mini that I'm not happy about it is the mouse tail. And what I mean by the mouse tail is that it, you know, where the on the Echo, you on the back, it goes to the wall and then it connects to the Echo. It's like your power plug, right? Mm-hmm. And problem with this one is that this wire is braided, which is really great because the braided lightning cord is awesome. It's really long and it's very tough. However, it's permanently attached to the HomePod Mini. There is no connector. It's permanent. So if that wire breaks,
That seems surprising because I can't think of any other product that they have that the cord is physically attached like that.
It's like,
most devices don't do that anymore.
Yeah. What a great sound effect. Well, I don't know how you spell that, but we
got to
name the podcast.
I was, so yeah, I was like, oh my God, seriously, Apple, what? Of all brands to make a permanent mouse tail onto your device. Well, I was like, shame. That's the only thing I will give Apple a bad grade on is that tail. Everything else is cool. VoiceOver works on it. There's a display on the top. It's VoiceOver compatible, so you can swipe. Back and forth.
Just wait though, because next year they'll be able to talk about their sleekest, smoothest, thinnest tail yet, and it won't be any different. They'll just make it look different and pretend like it's a good thing.
We call it the rat tail.
Yeah.
And it also can go portable, which I wasn't aware of until like last week.
Yes.
You can operate it from a battery pack, not from their battery packs, but through aftermarket packs.
You sure can, and that's the beauty of it. So the battery pack I have does support the new USB-C on it, and it works.
Cool.
It works beautiful, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It works great with the battery pack. It doesn't take a lot of resources. However,
you have to be on your network.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, you could still hook up the Wi-Fi, I suppose. I mean, you can move it around, but the home apps just makes it so simple to use and set up. I love it. And onto other products, guys. They introduced 3 new Macs in the one more thing keynote. And I was thinking about Mike. Now, okay, you had a 2017 or 2018 MacBook.
I want to say the 2017.
That's what I thought. And that's a MacBook Pro or MacBook Air?
Correct. Pro.
And did you watch or see any of the details come out of this new silicon chip they call the M1 now?
And I have. Thoughts? Yeah, I have. And I read the whole breakdown about it because I'll tell you guys a secret. I'm not like I like technology and I use a lot of it, but when it comes to like explaining what a chip does and how a chip does it, I can say those words, but they kind of don't mean a lot. You know what I mean? Like I'm not good with that.
A politician.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. I can BS my way through a conversation quite well, but when it actually comes to like, here's this chip, now put it in that computer, make it work. I'm like,
No, nope. You're right. So you're talking about like the real world usage. Tell me what it does. What's this do? Instead of like, oh, it does this and times faster, or it uses a such and such chips, or all this technical jargon. Is that what you're thinking?
It's supposed to, from what I understand. And the part that actually caught my attention was the MacBook Airs, keeping the temperature down, no fan. I love that, to have like faster processing, graphics, everything all in one thing and stick it into a small package that I don't have to listen to a fan hum, because that drives me nuts.
The hum.
It's such a small thing. Like, most people probably don't even notice it, but when my laptop fan kicks on, I'm like, I hate you. Stop that. Like, I know I need you for everything we're doing, but I still hate you.
No, a lot of people, you know, that's weird. I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of podcasters that were reviewing it, and they all said the same thing. You said you would be amazed how much you've gotten used to the hum of the fan and gotten so used to it not, well, being there, but just don't listen to it. And then all of a sudden you get this M1 where it never hums and the fan never pops on a MacBook Air. And they were saying, wow, it's like, it's totally silence. And they were like, this is really cool. And I'm, you know, okay, so to put this in perspective, yeah, you're right. They were, there was a lot of smoke and screen going on at the keynote. I mean, Apple was very,
yeah, it was weird.
They were throwing out all these specs, and to me, it didn't make any sense. They were saying, well, it's 98% faster than Intel chips. I was like, what? I said, what does that mean? What, an i3, i5, what?
And doing what? Are we typing a Word document, or are we like editing movies or rendering graphics or something?
Exactly. And ironically, I do listen to a podcast, not Apple Viz, folks, but you know, I do listen to Apple Viz, but my other favorite is Apple Bits, B-I-T-Z, so Apple Bits. It's by Brian Tong. I love this guy. He's been around for, gosh, forever, and he is the Apple guru. And he was telling us, he was the same way. The smoking screen wasn't impressive. What will it do for me? So he bought himself a MacBook Air, $999, might add. And he owns a 2019 MacBook Pro decked out, 64 gig with the i9 10th generation. If for those technical junkies, it's very high. That's really fast. That's not cheap. He bought it for about $5,500. That'd be about right for an Apple Mac Pro.
Oh,
that.
Man.
And took his MacBook Air M1 for $999. And he does a lot of video. And he was saying that a 12-minute video that he did got done in 6 minutes on an M1. That was a $5,500 computer versus to a $999. That tells you how much faster this M1 is. It's just mind-blowing. And then I heard another podcast saying the same thing. He used Final Cut. And he took a 14-minute video and was able to do it in 2 minutes on the M1.
Yeah, I know processors make amazing things. I have a new Windows PC. And when I'm ready to convert my podcast over, like to MP3, I hit like convert, and I'm going like, huh? How can it be done? There must be errors. So different processors are definitely the way to go. You know, the new process on any machine, I think.
Oh, yeah. And this is true for audio as well. I heard many, many people talk about how an 8-minute audio conversion on an older MacBook Pro and be done within minutes on the M1. So
that's awesome.
It's across the board. Now, I will say, this is just the first chip, guys. Can you imagine? I mean, we got 2 more years of transition. I'm thinking, you mean tell me you got more underneath the hood and more? I was just mind blown. If I was Intel and AMD, I'd be like, holy smoke, guys, what have we been doing? What have we been doing? Oh, we still got Windows. Okay, we could just slow down the folks on the Windows. That's fine. That's what they're thinking. So yeah, I'm
like, Intel doesn't even have an app store. They don't even have it does suck when like the people that have been your primary customer are suddenly like, oh, hey, guess what? We actually don't need your help anymore. Good luck.
Yeah. I was like, well, and I get it too that, you know, Apple can do this because they built that chip around their operating system. So it's not like Intel or AMD is building that chip around Windows. They could. And I think they should, if they want to keep up the market. I think, honestly, I really can see some people leaving the Intel to the M1 if this becomes that notable for professionals that are needing these kind of speed. It's just like, wow. You would think that the Apple would be saving a lot of money going ditching Intel, because Intel's royalty on those chips are expensive. I mean, if you ever had to buy just chips, they're expensive. And that's what the main bulk of the price of a computer usually generally is from the chip itself. And so I was reading this article that they just on these three models alone, which is the 13-inch MacBook Air, 13-inch MacBook Pro, and the Mac Mini that we're talking about, they estimate to save $2.5 billion for.
Wow.
I was like, that's what Apple needs is more money.
Yeah, well, maybe that's how they finally decided to lower their share of the App Store. They're like, all right, well, you guys can keep your 15% and we'll just make our own chips and we'll still make more money.
Yeah, no doubt, right? It's like I'm thinking, well, God forbid you should pass those savings down to us, you know, since we were talking about the bricks weren't, the power adapters weren't coming with the iPhone 12. By the way, the HomePod Mini does come with a power adapter, folks. Yes. Yes, that was a nice part.
It's so weird that we have to wonder if it'll come with everything that it needs. It's so annoying.
It is. And sure enough, the power adapter, that's a 20-watt one. So, you know, that's cool about Apple. It's universal. So their power adapter works along most of the line of products, which is kind of cool. So you don't have to buy certain ones. Like, this is only for the iPhone 12. This is only for the HomePod. And
We actually have a drawer of just like seven of them all just piled up in there. I don't know where they've come from, but we just have a bunch.
Luckily. But I have to cry. Where are my AirTags, AirPods?
Where?
And one more thing. I was thinking, one more thing. And then it just ended, and it's like, no! Kind of like that Luke on the Star Wars when he finds out Darth Vader is his father. I did the same thing.
That part was so sad.
I was screaming out, no! It's okay.
Next year. Maybe next
year. It's just a figment of my imagination. This whole stuff is just air vapor. Just vaporware, you know.
Air tags.
Yeah, air vapor.
Don't exist.
Air tag vaporware. Uh-huh. AirPod Studio vaporware. It doesn't exist. It does exist. It exists with the AirPod chargers, the pads charger.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That really dark warehouse that's top secret. And
mm-hmm. Now, Apple did.
With the Apple car. Remember the Apple car from like 4 years ago that people thought they were actually going to make like a Tesla?
That's another.
Oh, yeah.
Vaporware, winter air. So they must have this warehouse full of all this cool stuff that just never made it.
Full of vapor.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Cars in there with the tag so you can find the car that has a studio so you can listen to your music while it drives you around.
Uh-huh.
It's gone.
Sounds fun.
And you can drive it on top of the air charger. Hey, I can dream, right? I mean, it's all fantasy anyway.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, along with the MacBook stuff coming out on the Mac Minis as well, Big Sur. I love that name. Big Sur came out, which is
they got that from me, actually. That's what they call me.
Oh, you know what? It does.
I've been calling you Big R this whole time.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Dang it. I didn't realize. Saying it wrong.
I see the similarities now.
Okay, good. I'm full of vapor too sometimes.
Big Sur.
So the new Mac OS 11 come out, and other than the first couple of days of disastrous results of people trying to download all at once, they overloaded, and a lot of people couldn't get installed or it installed with problems. But even when it went through and the final work start to come out in terms of accessibility, there's a lot of problems with accessibility with the OS 11, which is not a big surprise for being a major release, but it is kind of a surprise because a lot of the bugs, you know, I think it should have been squashed in the beta, but it's kind of sad, but it's still usable. A lot of people are using it with VoiceOver. However, they're saying that some of the areas where they used to be able to just kind of smoothly sail through isn't so like that. It start to add more interactions with a bow and a space bar. You have to do a little bit more of that. And it kind of changed around the notification messages and things like that, the widgets. So there are some problems with the accessibility, but people are using it. The recovery mode, which is kind of a big deal, is a major problem with accessibility. It does not work at all. So if you are using recovery mode for whatever reason, you wipe your machine or you want to do something, partition whatever in the area, that, my folks, it is somewhat accessible and other areas not accessible at all. So that is a major serious bug to note. A lot of people probably already know about this bug, and I hope you do. Mike, have you even gone to? Are you still on Catalina, or did you go to Mojave? Or?
No, nope. I have not upgraded my laptop, and I used to be the one that was always like, "You got to do it. It's all about like there's security reasons and all these other great reasons." I have not updated my Mac in 3 years.
Wow. So you're probably still. Gosh, what was before Catalina? I can't even remember.
El Capitan, maybe.
Capitan. That's, I think you won.
Yeah.
So you're still on that and you still love it. I mean,
it works. I don't want to mess with it. I hear stories like this and I'm like, I don't want to do it. Like, it works. I'm good.
You know what? I think you'd be best because, you know, we had this conversation before. A lot of video editors and music editors are saying, especially the audio spectrum. My son is a musician and everybody's saying, do not go to Big Sur. He's using Logic Pro and Ableton. It's some musician stuff that they use, but a lot of plugins do not work. And that's the one thing you and I talked about for many years. So we're so scared of updating. Will these plugins work?
Yeah, that was a scary question with updates, because I remember one of my 32-bit VSC plugins that I had been using suddenly wouldn't work because the program that I use was forced to go 64-bit. And so then I had to go back and like try to undo all of that. So yeah, there's always that, and that's why I haven't, because there's so many little things that I have set just right that as soon as one thing goes wrong in that chain that I've built, it's all going to break and I don't want to have to fix it.
I totally forgot about the 32-bit thing going to 64. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it just seems like if you can stay where you are, do so for now. That's what I'm hearing. Some people are reporting that they have tried on the new M1 with importing over iOS apps to see how it works in VoiceOver. And some apps works great, like Weather Guys works perfect. They said it's beautiful on there. But other apps like Overcast doesn't work. Works halfway, but if you ever try to go back, you can't go back. So it's kind of a mixed results, and some other apps don't work at all. And obviously that makes sense. I mean, it wasn't designed to work on a Mac without the developers putting that in there. So apparently you can go to the Mac store and go to the Mac apps or the iPhone apps. And if you go to the iPhone apps, you can download iPhone apps and see if it works on your M1. So the idea and the theory behind it sounds intriguing. I will be really curious in future updates if developers do decide to support Mac and the M1s, as in it works all cross-platform, and how well they work with VoiceOver. That would be huge, I think, if for people that never had a Mac that are very comfortable with their iOS. I wonder if the experience would be similar. I know you still have to deal with it'd be more like an iPad experience is what I'm hearing. If you are comfortable with the iPad experience on the keyboard, you shouldn't have any problems navigating the iPad iOS on the M1 chips on the Mac. So that's just something to think about. I think that's potential. I love that. Now, would that be a big thing to either of you two?
I'm trying to think of probably not personally for me. Yeah. I'm one of those guys that, I don't know, when I get something that is working for me and I there's not a major issue with it, I'm generally good. I'm just like, just keep it like this. Maybe it's just like the chaos of 2020 and just things in general being so nuts that when I'm like, you're reliable, stay, don't change. I need this. Like I'm clinging to you now.
I wonder if that makes a difference with Mac.
I'm kind of the other way. I kind of like to update things just and hoping that they work, because I don't want to miss out on that one thing.
I used to be. Like the nearest Apple store now is hours away. It's partially that. Like I live on the top of a mountain out here. It's like if something breaks and I lose like some necessary part of this entire setup, then I'm in trouble.
Right.
That's interesting. It's interesting because for those that don't have a Mac or don't use it, I'm starting to hear other people like Randy and other listeners out there that have reached out to me. It's like, oh my gosh, it does iOS app. I would so go this direction. And then those that are Mac users, and I'm talking like users for years, are like, I don't like this. I don't like that at all. I like the old Mac the way it worked, because it worked just fine. And it's kind of not as robust
like I have very specific things I do on my Mac and none of them I can do on my phone, and there's not really any, like, other than messaging and I guess email, like those are the only things that I sometimes will use on both devices, but everything else is not. Like everything on the Mac is about the editing and the software, and like I don't want my phone stuff on there. It'll just distract me from what I'm trying to do.
And that's the thing, is that obviously M1 is this direction they're going. And the only way you get is Big Sur on it. Mail and messages are like the two biggest notable change I've heard from actual Mac users, and saying, oh man, it's like they really changed this, and I don't like it because you have to interact with the actions a lot more than you had to do with the older one. So it really is interesting to hear advanced Mac users to newbies on the differences. And I've heard both sides. They either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
And it just depends which side of the fence you're on. You know, Mike, you mentioned before another wrench to our $2 trillion plan is you mentioned the cut, the 30% fee, Apple store fee down to 15% if you are making $1 million and less. So if you're making over $1 million on an app, which, oh my gosh, if you can make $1 million, that's awesome. But I think that pertains to what, in the high 90% range of app developers are now able to take advantage of this 15% discount. Now tell me, this, you guys can see this a mile away, right? I mean, this is obviously from the Epic War. If you're not familiar with the Fortnite and Spotify war, they're having with Apple on these fees, don't you think?
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's the first thing I thought. Oh, they did it. Oh, they just gave him a black eye. They just poked him in the eye because says, well, we'll give you 15% discount, but yeah, you can't be making $1 million. I'm thinking, oh.
Yeah, and the irony too, as we sit here and talk about, will Apple hit 2 trillion? They're sitting over there like, if you make more than 1 million, then we're going to take more from you. Like, wow. Okay. The price of doing business.
Well, you know, when I was looking at the numbers, it kind of made sense they did this because honestly, the 90 percentile folks, they weren't really pulling the numbers as you would think. It's not going to take effect to the bottom line all that much as the profit margin that we had on the iPhone 12 Pro, for example. But on the App Store, they obviously still keeping the 1%, the 2% of people, developers, that's making tons of money for them because they take 30% of the cut of every $1 million they make. Wow. That's a high tax claim that they chunk out of you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just made me laugh. I was thinking of Epic, Fortnite, and yeah. Spotify when I heard that. So it's, oh, that was a double blow, and they just poked him in the eye. I was like, man, that's just so Apple.
It really is. But I mean, honestly, smart move, especially because most people, like you were saying, aren't in that category of million plus. So
true. You know, the way I see it is, I think that's awesome because the small developers now will be able to take home more money. That means more of the money that I gave them for an app will go towards their work. And I'm really excited for that. I suppose that people are making oodles of money. Well, yeah, you're still making a crap load of money. You wouldn't be making that crap load of money if it wasn't for the App Store. I'm just saying is that I think your profile on an App Store would give you a higher significant show or it's, view.
The way that I think about it, honestly, is it's like, if I opened a retail, like a physical retail store, I still have to pay somebody to use the building. The land that building sits on is not free. You don't just get to build. You don't get to have somebody else build your building for you. You just walk in and set up and start selling your stuff. Like you have to. It's how business works. It's just a digital version of it.
True. That's true.
It's property tax and all that stuff. State taxes. It's the same thing that every physical store has to deal with.
Well, that's true. And then the higher tax bracket that you make into, the higher, more tax you get taken out. So
yeah. And if I'm on Fifth Avenue, I'm going to pay a heck of a lot more than if I'm, you know, Fifth Avenue, Manhattan, as opposed to like, I don't know, Main Street in Donnelly, Idaho. It's way cheaper here for a reason. Way less people.
Way less. Yeah, exactly. And then just a final up, a couple of things. 14.2 had dropped. I thought I'd do a quick review on that. I like this version quite a bit because it has 14 new accessibility fixes. 14, that's a lot of new fixes. And so I highly recommend you go to 14.2. I had somebody out there ask me, I'm still on unlucky 13 and I have been holding off. Oh. Should I go to 14.2? And I was like, I hate being put in this place because you can't go back to 13. And so I want you to put that out there. Knowing that you can't go back to 13, what do you guys think of 14.2? As in, do you think?
Well, I would never go back.
To 13?
Never.
What about, and so you give this a thumb up? It's like, yes, definitely this is time.
I would, yeah. I've had so many problems with 13 in the past that I just wouldn't I wouldn't go back.
I think I'd probably say like a tentative thumbs up. But again, this is also understanding that we know nothing about you and what you do with your phone and exactly. like what's important to you. So it's highly, highly subjective.
I have been
satisfied with Fortune 2 so far.
Yeah.
I agree with both of you. I think we all can say a thumbs up on all of us, with the exception notice that you cannot go back to 13. But I think it finally is stable enough, as in most of the majority of the bugs are out. I will say there's still some bugs in it, folks. And there is one serious bug, and I'm so glad an AppleViz user pointed this out to us. And I'm so glad he did, because it has been driving us batty, because we reported that the jumping around issue has been fixed in 14.2. Now, some have said it has not, and we were just stumped because half of us are, half of us aren't. And it turns out to be a setting under accessibility. So under accessibility, under keyboard, if you have something called full keyboard set to on, toggle that to off, and the jumping around is gone now. I believe the external keyboard uses, but nonetheless, if that is an issue, turn that off and the jumping around will resolve that. Send us an email at unleashed@appleviz.com if you know what a full keyboard does. I'm curious. Other than that, I think I'm starting to see a much more stable release of iOS finally. And of course, I'm on 14.3, but before I go to that, 14.2.1 came out for the iPhone mini, because they would have like the protective screen protector. You know, you guys use like glass hardener, or you have a protection on top of your screen?
I do.
And I don't think Mike does.
Nope.
And I guess apparently if you have a protector on top, it would not see your finger touching the screen. I was like, wow, that's a major problem. They had to physically take this protector off before it was seen.
They did the same thing, the same updates for 12 as well as the is the mini. And I have to say, I haven't really noticed anything changed with my screen at all.
Well, that's good. I guess a lot of people are having problems with that. And so that resolved that problem, but it also resolved a really serious issue where you were missing text messages and group messages. So I was like, whoa.
Yep. So that's right. I was missing them.
That's good to see that they fixed that.
For a while I thought I have no friends anymore. What's going on?
Yeah, what did I say recently on a podcast? Yeah,
what did I say?
I hate it when I do that. Like, crap, what did I say? Everyone's mad.
So you're probably asking yourself, okay, Tom, what's in 14.3 that we will all be giggling about and loving about? Really, there's not anything I don't think we can live without. Obviously, if you're advanced photographer or a videographer, the Pro RAW that Apple mentioned in their update is that it allows you to take photos and videos raw. That means it's kind of like lossless when it comes to audio, which is a big deal when it comes to audio for us, because we can do a lot more with it and manipulate it. But I can see how that would work great for experts out there that want raw photos and videos. So that is coming.
Those are ginormous too. So don't accidentally turn that feature on and take a bunch of pictures, because you'll fill your phone.
It'll be huge. Yeah, that's exactly huge. What they're saying. They said you got to have a huge phone to take a lot of pictures with it. I can't remember what the size is, but it's absorbingly high.
Yeah, it's like, huge.
Whoa! The third-party app suggestion is kind of a big thing, especially if you're in Europe and other places where countries, I think the EU has been coming. I think they're going to come down hard on Apple in terms of you're going to have to give suggestions or access to other app besides your stuff. That means from setup, like Microsoft had the same problem where they were incorporating Internet Explorer. And for a while there, just in Europe, you get the setup and it says, would you like to download Google or Firefox, and give you option to pick from other than theirs. And so that seems like it's going to be the same thing for Apple. At least Apple thinks so, because it is now going to be a feature in 14.3, or is in there now. So when you set up your device for the first time or upgrade to 14.3 in those countries that are requiring to have this for legal reasons, you will be getting this pop-up to say, hey, we allow you to have other mail solutions. And here are other mail solutions besides ours. Here are other browser solutions. So I thought that was interesting. So what does that mean for us in the United States and other places that don't have to deal with it? We're never going to see it. It'll just be in the background. But regardless, that just tells me that Apple is ready for this to battle any kind of legal rows that they have in Europe. And so they're ready to say, well, we have this option already. There's no reason to sue us. They always seem to be one ahead of everybody. It's kind of funny how they do that. But if for those couples out there are wanting to start a family, there's a new pregnancy section in the health app that might be interest for you and your wife to make notes of the pregnancy. There's a new search engine option. I've never heard of this search engine. It's called Ecosia. You guys ever heard of Ecosia?
No. I have not.
E-C-O-S-I-A. I think it's Ecosia for Eco. Sure. And the reason I say that is because I like, what the hell is this? You like that comparison, huh?
Yeah.
That's how I think. I go, Ecosia? But anyway, I went to look at it. And it is. It's an eco site that plant trees. Every time you use that engine to search for things, they plant a tree on your behalf. So it's Ecosia.
Interesting. I could probably. I'm actually genuinely curious how this. I'm now thinking about like the actual execution of this plan. Like if you had, that could be a lot of trees. How could you possibly plant that many trees?
Well, I'm thinking, is it kind of like one of those deals like, for every $100 I make off you, I'll donate $1 to a tree. It's like, oh, that's really nice.
So what is the engine like? Have you used it?
I have not. I have yet to use it. I just looked at it just for this podcast. I'm curious what it was, and it's eco-friendly. However, that's how they take all the revenues from your searching and sell it to third party, but they plant a tree on your behalf. I think Google should do that.
Interesting.
We would have more trees than we could shoot at.
Yeah. I'm going to go plant some trees today, guys.
Come on, Google.
I'm going to start telling people this. I'm like, what have you been doing? I've been planting trees, and I've really just been sitting here searching stuff online.
Obviously, other things are coming along. 14.3 are a lot more things to come, plus the Fitness Plus are making room for that. And there has been sightings of icons and things for the AirPods Studios. Who knows? It's just in the beta. We'll see. But the app tracking transparency is my big one I'm waiting for. That's the one that touts your privacy. And Facebook is having a conniption. They're estimated to lose 40% of revenue. And I'm thinking, seriously, is it that much off of iPhone users? So if you use Facebook with this new app tracking transparency on 14.3, it limits the way they can track you. So they will lose that revenue, which it makes sense. But 40%, that sounds really high. I don't know. I don't know if that's exaggerations, but do you guys feel pity for them?
No.
No, I nope.
Okay. I was going to say, if it is 40% for being able to track people, it wouldn't surprise me. Facebook is like that. Like that would not, I know, I would not be surprised if it was that high.
Yeah, I understand some of the small developers. Some of the small developers are saying, well, hey, actually, we do use your tracking. We don't sell it. We use it to make our apps better. We realize that, oh, they're using it this way. Oh, I never thought of that. And that's how they come up with new features based on what you're doing. And so it kind of hurts. So essentially what's going to happen is you're going to get a pop-up saying, hey, Facebook is tracking you. And it's tracking you in this way. It has to tell you what is tracking you for you in the apps. And you have the option to say yes or no. Obviously, most of us are going to say, well, heck no, I'm not going to do that. So you got to think twice about it. Facebook is obvious. I would definitely say no, but I get it. It's free. We wouldn't have Facebook if it wasn't for that. But
yeah, I'm the kind of person that like when you're setting up a new phone, it's like, do you want to allow developers to collect anonymous data? Yeah. I do say yes on that. Like same I'm difference. Okay with that. It's Facebook and Google are it's about for me, like when it gets to such a massive scale. Like I would be totally fine with random little things helping out. Like I don't do it with any social media. I think maybe that might be part of my of my hangup is when the line starts to get blurred from anonymous random data to like, hey, by the way, Facebook, we are, hey, it's me, Facebook. We actually know what your face looks like. We've actually been using this cool facial recognition feature this whole time that you just didn't know about. Would you like to turn it on now? Like, I just don't trust them, especially.
And we sold that information. We sold your face to the NSA.
Oh, yeah. By the way, everybody knows your face now. So, like, wait a minute.
I didn't volunteer for that. And, you know, to me, that's your own fault, Facebook. That's your own doing. You dug your own grave on that. And you should have been more transparent with us and made some things more knowledgeable as in, yeah, I would be willing to share that for you, but they decide to let's just be really dirty about this and just
I've just lost all trust. They were very smoke and mirrors from the get-go, and I've never really loved that. And I'm usually not like this kind of person either, but I am gonna love the day that they go bankrupt. I can't wait for Facebook to turn I can't wait for them to turn into MySpace.
Oh, wow.
Forgotten, and they have some tiny niche weird market. Like, I don't even know what MySpace does anymore, but I can't wait for Facebook
to end up. You would cause a vacuum. You would cause a black hole in people's lives. I mean, think about it. Facebook owns what? Instagram? They own WhatsApp? They own... Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine all those just disappearing one day?
Yes, I can.
The Instagram... And the TikTok. TikTok is not run by, but you know, it is something to think about. And all those are run by ads and tracking you. So it's, you are giving them the revenue. And so anyway, Apple decide you have the choice. And I,
good.
Yeah. I think they should have the right to do that because they give us the option to say, no, I disagree with the Apple. I'm going to say yes.
My family just lives on Facebook.
So does mine.
I mean, it's just like I see all these posts and I'm going, God, don't you guys have anything to do with your lives except just sit there? And
I deleted it. And it's been
all day.
I haven't had it for years and it's been great because
I have not been on Facebook for about a year and it's been so long. I'm locked out of it. I can't get back into it. It is. I tried logging the other day. It says, welcome back. It's been a long time. We sent you some sort of a generator code. And I was like, what? And I said, I didn't get any generator code. And I looked it up and says, you got to have Facebook app to get the generator code. I said, I don't have a Facebook app. Well, use your last web browser to have access to it. I don't have any web browser system.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Totally locked out.
I'm locked out of Instagram for that reason. Because when I made my Instagram, I just pushed use my Facebook account to make it. And then I deleted Facebook. And now there's no more Instagram for me because I can't log into it. Because I have to have Facebook to recover the password to Instagram.
I was like, oh, crap.
It's all gone. No, I'm fine with it.
Gone. Yeah, it's just SOL.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing, guys. Here's one more thing. Rumor has it there's maybe one more thing. And honest to God, Apple said there might be one more thing, a Christmas surprise. Nobody knows what this means. Apparently, a reliable leaker says there's going to be one more thing coming. We'll know between first part of December through the 10th in that time frame. What that'll be, nobody knows. Some people say it'll be the AirPod Studios. Some people say it's the AirTag. Some people say it's just a sale. I can't see in the hardware. Not being this close to Christmas, I think they just miss an opportunity if they just announce that really late, but I could be wrong. For my sake, I hope they're wrong. I would buy the studio hands down the first day. But I just don't see that. We'll have to see what they have up their sleeves. I know in the past they had the 12 days of Christmas where they have free apps each day or a free item.
I remember that.
I do remember that. That was kind of fun.
And so I'm just kind of remembering all these things they've done in the past. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm curious and I'm anxious to see that.
They will probably lower the HomePod Mini half price without the tail.
Well, because we heard the Unleashed, we decided to discount it because of that tail. Yeah. That would be my luck. To wrap things up, we'll just say what happened on Apple Viz this month. There's not a whole lot to report. I did a review on something called Detective Demise, which is a game. It's an audio game. Very different from audio games I've worked with. This actually works spatial, as in you're actually walking down the street, and if you hear things behind you to the left, you need to turn around and go that direction. So it's that kind of concept. And you really are walking down different areas. And so you get to hear all the homeless people to beggars and to, and you might come across a mugger that wants to mug you. It's an interesting concept.
Wait, in the game or in real life when you're walking down the road?
No, in the game.
Okay.
I'm just making sure, man. You just,
I mean, you, it depends, like, I guess what city you live in. You really don't know.
I'm going to give you this app and you walk right down downtown. Somebody will mug you for your phone. No, this is actually, you put your headphones on and it's a real game situation. It's interesting. It's very well done. I thought the sound is great. Now, it's kind of pricey. I thought the price would come with multiple episodes. This only comes with the first episode. So, to be quite honest, I think it's a little costly just for one episode, and the playable is not very long. However, the developer says they are going to extend more things into episode one to make it more replayable and be able to do more things. However, they did confirm that additional episodes will cost money for each episode. And I think this was $3 or something, $4. And so I thought that was kind of high for one episode that may last 20 minutes. So that's my two cents.
Yeah.
Have any of you got any new items or things you would like to reveal to our listeners?
Well, I ordered something for Black Friday, only one thing.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that surprised me because last month you told me that you were not going to order any more until you got to 90, unless you turned 90 just recently.
Well, as people would find out, I never tell the truth here.
Oh, okay.
Well, what happened to me when my Echo device, one of my second generations, bit the dust, and it just, for some reason, mutes itself. And what happens, you know, I'll say, I'll call it by its name, you know, like, we'll just say it's Mastodon. It's like, Mastodon. And it activates, and then I query it, and then it mutes itself.
It's strange.
It just mutes itself. Really.
And then sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the request will go through. But I'll actually hear it. If I'm watching a movie, I'll hear it go, bump, bump, dun, dun, and I'm mute and unmute.
Why did it do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. And so I called the A company, and I said, you know, what's going on? And nobody could figure it out. So they gave me a 15% discount, even though my device was older. And they said, so we're sorry you're having problems. We will give you a 15% discount on any type of device that you buy from us, Echo related. And so I said, oh, that sounds really good. It's better than, nothing. And so, what I ended up doing was I got on the Black Friday deal and I got a brand new Echo 4th generation, with 15% discount. That was applied as well. So I got it for like $54.
Wow.
You know what I'm picturing too? Is the person that you talk to on the phone explaining it to them. They're sitting on their computer pushing the mute button and muting and unmuting your Echo. And they're like, this just, I have no idea. You want 15% off? I'll give you 15% off.
You know, what's funny is they can do all these things.
I wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, no, I've heard them mess with it. You know, they go, yeah, we're in your account now. Let me see. And I'll hear these, you know, the volume will change. And they can really do stuff to your device.
No way.
Is it okay if we play with it and we'll just play here? Yeah.
When you got a hold of them, they were able to log into your Echo?
They can remote into it just like that?
Yep.
Did you have to do anything on your end, like, other than just say go for it?
No, I just said, no, do anything you want because I'm having a problem with it. They go, okay. It's like, cool.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, I thought there would have to be like at least like a physical switch. Like if you just flipped a switch on the bottom to like
exactly
give you remote access, in or whatever. You know, yeah, like I thought it would be some sort of
access app to that. Or
person. Well, they ask you, can we do it?
I know, but asking and doing it is the same thing. It's just
Well,
oh my gosh, Mike!
It's like I don't care because I got a new Echo coming. So
I'm turning off my Echo right now. That's enough for me to say
it's
I'm
part of the problem.
I had no idea they could easily access.
Yeah, that's your that's
a lot. Creepy.
Well, they
let me turn that up for you, sir. Oh, you're not saying the A-lady right. That's why you're not saying it right.
Oh, yeah, your accent.
My gosh.
I'm sorry. Can you tell your wife to turn the shower off, please? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Try to quit singing in the bathroom. That dot in the bathroom is annoying. Oh, this is terrible.
Well, you know, you can, I'm sure if you muted, you know, actually muted it and they could see that it's muted. I don't know if they can actually turn off, if it's not working right, turn off the mute or whatever, but it didn't work. It just didn't work.
Oh my gosh. I'm just totally, I'm sorry. I'm just totally creeped out right now.
I almost wish I had one just so I could call and be like, hey, I'm having this problem. What can you do? Just to see it. I want to try it for myself now.
All right.
Yeah. They can sure see it online. That's for sure. And what's weird is they go, is that Big R master bedroom? Is that Big R, you know, whatever? And I'm going, yeah, how did you know?
They probably see some really weird stuff in there.
You can just hang out now. We're just listening to you on the dot right now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We've been here. We've been with you for years, Randy.
Yeah. Wait till you call in again.
We already knew you were calling, so we're ready for you.
So anybody else get anything?
No.
New stuff? No.
No, just you. And apparently you had a birthday.
I mean, just a phone.
So happy birthday, Randy. It was great having you both on. Happy holidays to both of you and to our listeners. Thank you for, again, for listening to the show. And my gosh, we're coming up on 3 years, guys.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, it's been that long.
You know what is funny to as long as we've been on? I see messages like, gentlemen, I love your podcast, and I love the Big R. What does that mean? Well, which do you like better, me or the podcast?
I'm not sure.
I was thinking of like, and regardless of what everybody said, we like the Big R too.
That's right. Thanks. We like the Big R too.
Thanks.
Why we give a lot of poop.
Thanks, Mike. Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm the one that just randomly isn't there because my internet doesn't work. Yeah, that's me. I'm that guy.
Well, you know, we really think we do make a good team. Do you know, Mike, I've heard from a couple of people that when we were when you weren't on, it left a big hole in everybody's podcast listening. And that's
not the same.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
And we agreed.
Well, I was waiting for the punchline to that joke, but thank you. I'm like, where is he going with this one?
There isn't one. We're glad you're back.
It's good to be back.
That's awesome. Well, so that makes it for Applebee's Unleashed November 2020 by the Big R and others.
What can I say? But goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, you say go ahead. Say goodbye since, you know,
bye.
Nice to hear you.
Bye. Come on, guys.
Bye-bye, guys.
This Applevis podcast has been brought to you by the community of Applevis.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Applevis.